when I jump into the ocean, I grow a tail.
Hi there, and welcome to Ticket A42, the Australian theatre industry podcast created in conjunction with AussieTheatre.com. I'm your host, John O'Hara, and each episode I'll sit down for a chat with one of Australia's most successful, influential and interesting industry professionals for an insightful, fun, silly and surprising look into their life, their career and everything in between their Ticket A42 moment and now. I'm so excited to welcome my next guest. So please make welcome a Helpman Award nominee, the youngest ever, a Rob Guest Endowment finalist, 2 years running. He's a recording artist. He's a true triple threat, and he's currently starring as Marius in Les Miserables at Her Majesty's Theatre in Melbourne. Mr. Ewan Deutsch, hello.
Hello, John.
Nice to have you in the studio today.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Now, as I mentioned, that you've got quite a few credits to your name already, and you're only 20, is that right?
Yes, this is true.
So, well, let's start off by with you telling us a little bit about your role in Les Mis. You play Marius.
Yes, I do. Being involved in this production is, you know, every performer's dream, I guess. Yeah. And being here in Melbourne especially has just been wonderful for us. The theatre culture here is awesome, and the response we have been getting has just been extraordinary.
Yeah.
And the whole process has been intense, but just very special at the same time. Everyone in the cast is so talented, and that first ever rehearsal was quite nerve-wracking for us all.
Yeah.
But just being there every night, getting to witness, you know, these amazing, talented performers is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, and so in putting the new refreshed version of Les Mis on in Australia, you had some of the original creatives and producing team come out to Australia, right?
Yes, we did.
So Cameron McIntosh came.
Yep.
And Claude Michel Schomburg, is that how I pronounce
it? That's how you say it.
Yes, who wrote the music. What was that like?
Scary. Can't even tell you how scared I was. We didn't get to see Cameron until we were in the theatre, basically. So the whole rehearsal process, we had two directors who kind of looked after us for the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we had the entire creative team come over for the last little period before we moved into the theatre.
Yes.
So we'd kind of established our show before Cameron came in.
Yeah.
So for all of us, we were all very nervous.
Yeah.
But he was so kind to everyone, and he came around to everyone's dressing rooms to congratulate them on the show. Of course, he had little notes here and there that he couldn't resist to give out. But, you know, having him tell us that was just, you know, amazing.
Yeah,
anyway,
he was there at the very beginning of the show's history.
Yeah.
So, and did you meet him in auditions as well?
I didn't.
No.
A lot of other people did, but he'd already left before I came into the audition because I auditioned quite late in the casting process.
Right. And so being a part of Les Mis anywhere in the world at any point is a big deal for any performer, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
But this is the new, refreshed, kind of modernized version. So how does that feel? You know, did you feel the pressure of everyone knows these roles so well and knows the music so well? So do you take that on board, you know, in your performance?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people, some people say to me afterwards, after they've seen the show, you know, are you so nervous to be playing this role because of Eddie Redmayne and, you know, the whole, excitement of it overseas?
Yeah.
Do you ever think of you have to be like that or, you know, but during this process, there's been none of that. It's been, this show's your own.
Yes.
And even in the casting, as you can see from the show to the London, the Broadway production, it's such a vast range of,
Differences, you mean?
Yeah, just differences, which is really cool. So, you know, a lot of shows are not carbon copies, but they bring them here and they're like, we want you to be like the Americans.
Yeah.
And so it's really nice to be able to bring ourselves to that role. And I had a conversation with Stephen Brooker, and he said, just when you are singing this show, relax and just be you, because you got cast
yes
in this show for being you.
Yes. Yeah.
And each and every one of you has a quality that these roles require.
Yeah. I thought that when I saw the show,
yeah.
Which for everyone that hasn't seen it, you must get along and see it. It's just beautiful. Everyone does have such a quality about these roles. And although we do know Valjean and Javert and Cosette and Eponine and yeah. Marius, there was something so wonderful about the casting decisions that had been made. And although they are so different to yeah. some of the originals, it still really, really works. And it's much, I don't know, there's something really sexy about this production.
Yeah, it is. The whole new production is amazing. The lighting and staging of the show is just spectacular.
Yeah.
And it's quite dark. And
yes.
I think that's what is so intriguing for people, because you really have to focus.
Yes.
The whole, I don't know, I don't really want to say anything else about the show because no one's seen it.
Don't want
to spoil it. Some people haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
Just the new adaptions are absolutely awesome. And
yeah, I love the changes. I think your change that they've made in your song Empty Chairs and Empty Tables, that visual change that has been made with candlelight,
yeah.
we're not, spoiler alert, is just so beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Do you get to watch? Have you ever gotten to watch this production?
No.
No.
So I don't see anything that happened. So it's.
Bummer.
Yeah. Hearing Bummer. About it just makes us all happy.
Yeah. Now, you've also recorded an album.
Yes, I have.
In conjunction with the show opening, really, right? So
yeah.
Tell us about that. What's it called? And
My album's called Let It Sing.
Yeah.
And I started working on this during Greece.
Yeah.
Kind of the last month. We yeah. were closing, I decided that I wanted to make an album.
Yeah.
It was never kind of in my mind. It was just out of nowhere. I just thought, a friend of mine, Lucy Maunder, had hers out and I just listened to it and I just thought, oh, it would be really cool to have something like that for myself.
Yeah.
And so I just decided to, to make this album. And I wanted, it took a while for me to decide on what type of songs and what, type of feel I wanted to go for.
Yeah.
And I just thought my number one love is musical theatre.
Yeah. There's definitely a poppy feel, though.
Yeah, so I wanted to do that, but put that kind of contemporary pop yeah. twist on it so that it is, other people that aren't theatre fans would be able to listen to it.
Mm. And there's a duet with your sister.
Yes, my little sister, Hopi.
Yeah, that's nice. Amazing.
And it's beautiful having her sing with me on the album. I mean, she's very special to me, as are all my brothers and sisters, but she's, she's still performing back home in South Australia and she's yeah. only 13. So I just wanted to do something special with her.
Was that the first time she'd been in a recording studio?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was
beside living.
Herself. She was living in that booth with those yeah. headphones, like yeah. having the time of her life. But it was cute because she'd be singing and then I would be like, giving her can you open up this vowel a little bit more? And she would say, come in, I'd have to teach her and then go back and play it.
That's so cute.
So yeah, it was beautiful.
That's so cute. Well, that brings me to, you're kind of talking about where you grew up. I Googled you and you grew up in Mount Gambier. Is that right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how does a boy from Mount Gambier end up in Melbourne in a big musical? Like what's a brief rundown of where you started out?
Well, I actually grew up in Millicent in
yes.
South Australia, which is 45 minutes from Mount Gambier. And
yeah.
that's where I grew up basically till I left to come to Melbourne.
Yeah.
I went to high school there and it's a tiny, tiny town.
Yeah.
With one set of traffic lights, like it's country.
Yeah.
So I first, my first experience with performing was our Move It. It was called Move It at the Heltman Theatre, which is in Mount Gambier. And so all the regional schools would put together kind of like a school spectacular show.
Yeah.
And I decided to audition with a couple of my girlfriends just for a bit of fun. And
yeah.
we went along and I had a hoot. And I got offered a scholarship to MJ Dance Studio, which is where I did all my training for my schooling years. And I kind of never looked back. And
yeah.
I always knew dancing is still a huge passion of mine. But there was always something that I wanted to do. I just felt like I need another outlet.
Yeah.
And so singing came along and I started singing lessons in Mount Gambier as well. Then my dance teacher brought me over to Melbourne to see a musical.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen anything, but I knew that music theatre was what I wanted to do. But
yeah.
I had never seen a show, so I didn't know what I was in for.
Yeah.
And so once I saw that show, it kind of, I just knew that that's exactly what I wanted to do. And
work towards it.
Yeah, and I was very lucky, and we are very lucky from where we come from, because there's not a huge,
like amount of people doing it.
It's a small, amount of people that are interested in the arts. So we get looked after and nurtured so well, especially from where I'm from, at MJ. So we take every opportunity to get people from Melbourne, people from America, when they were doing workshops around Australia, to come to our studio, and they all still do. And we'd come to Melbourne for workshops and class. And so it was kind of, because we weren't open to it in a regular life like people are here in Melbourne, I think it was that much more important that we had to work really hard if we wanted to get there.
Yeah. And so you ended up at Todd Patrick Studios, right? That's where you studied full-time here in Melbourne. Yeah.
Yes. I studied full-time in 2011. Yeah, 2011.
Yeah.
And I got in, and it was the scariest thing. I was so scared. Don't even know. I said I wasn't coming. I called up the week before and said I'm not coming anymore.
And that's funny.
So yeah, I came, and it was a big, big year. It was hard, but I wouldn't have changed it for anything. I learned so much. I made so many wonderful friends, and I was lucky enough in that first year to get my first musical, which was with the production company In Anything Goes.
Yep.
And then I was lucky to get into a chorus line at the end of that year, and have kind of been working since then.
Because so then you
very
did
lucky.
Legally Blonde. Right? Yes. And then Grease. And now Les Mis.
Yes.
That's a pretty impressive, that's impressive anyway because you're so young.
Thank you.
In terms of style, you know, from Legally Blonde to Les Mis is such a it's just so opposite. Which, you know, I mean, for those people that have not seen Ewan perform, he's a true triple threat. And that's just, it's just an exciting thing for you, you know, you're so talented across these. Across all of these disciplines. If anyone saw Twisted Broadway this year, you did. Twisted Broadway, for people that don't know, is a charity concert where we raise money for the charity Oz Showbiz Cares Equity Fights AIDS. And the spin is that men sing songs originally written for women and vice versa. And so what did you do this year?
I did a song and dance to Cassie's Music in the Mirror from A Chorus Line.
Yeah, and I think it stole the show a little bit. All people were doing
you're
was
lying. You're lying.
All people were doing was talking about how you kind of were airborne, you know, you know, through your number, which is crazy. I never got to see the number, but I've heard that it was incredible.
It was fun. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Now, look, that's the hard questions over with.
Phew.
So, everyone that comes on the show, Ewan, does the Ticket A42 test.
Okay.
And you know, the great thing about the Ticket A42 test is that everyone gets 100% because there are no wrong answers. And this is just a chance for our listeners to get to know you a little bit better, some things they might not know about you. So the first question is called The Kid in A42, which references the name of the show. And for those of you listening for the first time, for me, when I knew that I wanted to be a performer in a big show, I was sitting at the Regent Theatre in seat A42 watching Deborah Byrne and Hugh Jackman perform in Sunset Boulevard. And I just knew from then on I was going to be in a big show one day. So most other performers have a similar experience. Do you have one?
I do.
Yeah.
It was that same trip that I was talking about earlier when I came over to Melbourne. And I saw Wicked in 2008.
Amazing.
And I was beside myself.
Yeah.
I cried the entire time. Don't think I could have cried anymore. And that pretty much changed my life. I know it sounds cliche, but it honestly did. And I still hold that show so close to my heart.
Yeah.
I've been like 7 times since I've been back. Not that many, but close enough.
That's nothing compared to some people. Yeah. No, I think I'm in Wicked at the moment, and I think that it's wonderful. I assume Les Mis would be the same. You have these people that come to stage door and want to kind of tell you how the show has affected them and changed their lives, and they carry it with them throughout their life. And I just think that stuff's so, so special.
Oh, it's so special.
Yeah.
You kind of forget that sometimes. Like every show you do, whether you're tired or, you know, something's happened in your life, that someone out there is watching it for the first time and we are somehow going to have an impact on them.
Yeah, and even if it's one person, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it. Oh, that's awesome. Now, this is called What's Got Your Goat? And this is your chance to tell me something that is really peeving you off, a chance to have a little rant. It can
in
be anything.
General or just what people do?
Well, in general, it can be on a world scale. You know, global warming is really annoying me. Or it can be as simple as such and such needs to not pick their nose, you know?
Okay, this is hard. I'll just say a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
Is I get frustrated when people don't put things back where they came from.
Right, right. Like, so is your house like anally retentive?
Immaculate.
Yeah.
Immaculate.
Like, yeah.
I don't mind if it's anyone else's things.
Yes.
I'm not like one of those crazy people who are like, oh my God, I need to leave. Someone's moved something. But yeah. Like, if you wear something, don't put it on the ground. Like,
no.
Fold it up, put it back in the cupboard. Everyone's happy.
Yep. I agree. It's hard sharing dressing rooms with people sometimes that don't do that. Yeah. I find that challenging sometimes. All right. Well, this is called A Very Superstitious. And this is about, you know, performers have lots of superstitions and rituals that they do to keep their show the same and fresh. So do you have anything that you must do before a show or during a show on Les Mis?
I don't really have anything. I always have to sing some of my material in my dressing room before I go on. Like,
yep.
There's one section I'll always do.
Yep.
And I haven't missed it.
Is that because you want to know that your voice is warm enough to get to there?
I think so. And it's just a calming thing.
Yeah.
I think just to know that I don't have, I don't know. I just do it every time now without thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing really like crazy that I have to do. I mean, if I was talking just in general, I would, before a first performance,
yes,
like an opening night or a one-off performance, say Twisted Broadway or something, I'll always do a prayer before I go on stage.
Yep.
Always.
Yeah.
And I feel very unsettled if I haven't.
Yes.
Just, I don't know why. I've just always done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do a little prayer too, and I'm not even very religious, but I always just have a little moment, you know.
Have to.
Yeah, gotta have to. Now tell me the five things you can't live without.
Okay, are we talking about like things or can it be like
family? It can be a person, yeah, a family,
Okay, my phone.
Yes.
Absolutely my phone.
Yes.
Deodorant.
This is good. You are the clean guy. Yeah. Yes.
A toothbrush.
Yes.
Food.
Yes.
And my family and my partner. Yeah.
Aww.
They're all one. I just kind of noticed how I put them all together then. There's probably about seven things in
no,
there.
No, that's good. Your family and partner can be one.
Yeah.
That's good. You're a simple guy. I like it.
You're
toothbrush,
welcome.
Food. Yep. Yep. I'm down with that. Now, this is called Diva Tanti. So, you know, we work in the theatre and there are some colourful personalities and people that work in the theatre, and we ourselves are colourful personalities. And, you know, in the theatre sometimes tempers flare. So I'm asking you to share with me and the listeners any diva tanti that you've ever thrown.
That I've thrown?
Or you can tell me one that someone else has thrown. Just be careful about mentioning names. But what's the biggest diva tanti you've ever kind of witnessed that you might have thrown or someone else?
I have never thrown a diva tanti that I know of. I honestly can't think. Every show that I've been in, I really haven't witnessed anything like,
diva tanti.
No, I haven't witnessed, I've heard of some, but I haven't been lucky enough to be there.
Oh, that's
boring.
That's no fun. You're only young, so I guess you'll see one, or you might even throw one at some point. Yeah. All right. This is Phone Friend. So imagine you're on a quiz show and you get to phone a friend. Who would your phone a friend be?
One phone a friend.
Yeah. Keeping in mind that they need to be, you know, a source of support, but a source of knowledge and calm. You know, who's that person for you?
Remy Noonan.
Tell me about that person.
Remy, she is my housemate.
Yes.
And we did full time together.
Yes.
So we've kind of been close friends since then.
Yes.
And I'll call her regularly, probably four times a day, just to just say stuff. It doesn't even make sense sometimes, but she's just that one person who I'll always call
Amazing.
If I'm in trouble.
So you've lived together for a few years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that you'd be her Phone a friend?
I hope so.
All right, great. This is Showbiz, Showmance, Show Crush. So, you know, we all get a crush on those that we work with.
Yeah.
Do you have a show crush at the moment? And they kind of defy age or availability or sexuality or whatever. Do you have a show crush on anyone that you're working with at the moment?
At the moment, Patrice.
Patrice DePokey. She's so crushable.
Absolutely, she is. She's so show crushable.
She, for people that don't know, Patrice DePokey plays the role of Fontaine in Les Mis at the moment. I bawled my eyes out watching Patrice play a Fontaine a few weeks back.
Stunning.
Yeah. Do you get nervous around her? Or?
No, I don't actually. Like, she always comes past me. She'll always hear me in the hallways trying to sing. I'm always just trying to sing Jennifer Hudson songs. Yeah. And she'll always come by and just giggle at me. Or like yesterday, we always share videos and I'm obsessed with Sashana Bean.
Yes.
And so she came to my dressing room like, you check this out. And
did you watch the chandelier cover?
Yes. Is that what it was? That's what it was. It was the cover and I was like, I've already seen it. Yeah. I've watched it four times already today.
Yeah. Yeah. Patrice is kind of Australia's Sashana Bean.
She is.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's amazing. And just a kind, kind, warm heart.
Yeah. And strong. I just feel like she's so strong and calm.
And grounded. Yeah. Just everything about her is peaceful, but she will sing.
Yeah.
She will wail.
Yeah. She won't have a diva tanty,
no,
that's for sure.
No, never.
All right. A genie grants you three wishes. What are they? They can be anything.
That I can fly.
Amazing.
And that when I jump into the ocean, I grow a tail.
That I'm not a mermaid.
Third wish. I'd be a happy man if I just had those two. I don't know.
Don't I? One for nothing. Maybe I'll add that wish onto the next guest and they can have four.
Yes.
All right, cool. You're a generous guy. This is called Switcheroo. It's your chance to ask me a question. We switch spots.
Okay.
I'll answer anything. I'm scared.
Be very scared. Okay, what can I ask you? Okay, this is just a typical you and Deutsch question.
Yeah.
If you could be any Disney character, who would you be?
Who would I be? Oh, that is really hard.
It's hard.
I'm gonna go with Ariel.
Great. thank God you said Ariel.
seeing as though we're talking about men and women, because I also have a bit of an obsession with under the water. Mm-hmm. And when you're too young for this, but there's a movie called Splash that came out when I was young, which for people that don't know it, it's Get It Out, Splash. Daryl Hannah is a mermaid, Tom Hanks, very young Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah, and they fall in love. And whenever she touches water, she turns into a mermaid. And I used to tie my feet together when I was in the pool. And pretend that I might have even pretended I was a mermaid.
Yeah, you don't even know what I've done. It's my birthday soon and I've said to everyone, I want you to buy me a prosthetic tail.
I think you can get them.
I know.
Yeah, and I've seen those flipper things that just one. Yeah, just one, but yeah, 2 feet. Yeah, amazing. Well, there you go. We can be men together. What is a secret skill that you have that no one knows about? You could be a doctor or you could just be the best maker of scones, you know?
Oh, a secret skill that no one knows about.
We know that you're a good cleaner because you...
I was about to say a clean. I like to paint.
Yeah? Paint what? Pictures or walls?
Pictures and walls.
Yeah.
I like to paint like the house.
Yeah.
And things like that. I did that. Back home one day, I was like, I'm going to paint my room. So next minute, I thought I was on the block.
Okay, cool. And do you paint like portraits as well?
Yeah, I do. I just paint kind of abstracty things and I just get inspired by pictures I see when I'm overseas or yeah. just things like that kind of.
Will we ever see them, do you think?
Probably not. A lot of people have said that. I'm like, absolutely not. They're just for me and me only.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough, fair enough. Okay, we're going to drama school for a minute.
Okay.
This is called Accent and Dialogue. Right. So yes. you need to talk to me
okay.
in your choice of accent, the yep. best one you do. Just tell me what you did this morning, and don't tell me the accent. I'll try guess.
Okay. I'll tell you. I woke up this morning around 10 a.m. and I walked to my wardrobe and I put my clothes on, and then I went to watch a show called Calvin Berger at the MTC, and then I came here.
I think that is South African.
I tell you it is.
I love that.
The best.
Oh my God. I love that. How did you get to know how to do South African?
Okay. Funny story. During Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
Michelle Barr.
Yes. Who we love.
We love.
Yes.
Was sitting at mic check and started, you know, the mic check game, and they yep. put up a word and you have to sing to it. And she started singing like this. And I was overwhelmed. I was like, you need to teach me now. And so she kind of gave me a few words to work on.
Yeah.
And also our wonderful friend Stephen Wheat.
Yes.
Taught
yes.
me.
He does. He's very good at accents.
He's very good at accents.
Very good at accents.
So in our spare time, that's what we would be doing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. Now we're coming to the end of the test. You've done very well.
Thank you.
This is a little game called This or That. I'm going to fire 30 questions at you. It's just one or the other, and you pick one. And they can be taken in many different veins.
Okay.
Don't think too much about it.
Do I have to, like, answer quick like they do on Ellen when they just
try to? Okay. Yeah.
I think the first thing that pops into my mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like, it's like a personality
I
test.
I apologize if I answer the wrong one.
All right. Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Mum or dad?
Sorry, Dad.
Black or white?
Black.
In or out?
In.
Up or down?
Up.
Left or right?
Left.
Walk or run?
Walk.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Sydney or Melbourne?
Sydney.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Diamonds or pearls?
Diamonds.
Under or over?
Under.
Love or money?
Love.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Boxes or briefs?
Briefs.
Paper or plastic?
Paper.
Christmas or birthday?
Christmas.
Kisses or hugs?
Kisses.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Boy or girl?
Boy.
Bad or good?
Bad.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Wrong or right?
Wrong.
Apple or Samsung?
Apple.
Yeah. Day or night?
Night.
His or hers?
His.
Me or you?
You.
Oh, liar. That's great. You see, 100%. There are no wrong answers.
Thank God.
Now, look, this we're coming to the end. It goes so quick here at Ticket A42. This is Shameless Plug, where we plug without shame all the things that Ewan is working on. So to begin with, we can't really go past Les Mis. Les Miserables is playing currently in Melbourne at Her Majesty's Theatre. And the ticket details are at their website, lamiz.com.au or ticketek.com.au. They're going to be in Perth from
January
next year, and in Sydney from
March.
So if you are if you're looking for ticket details, go to their website for any of those cities, and they'll point you in the right direction. You can also follow the cast and all their shenanigans mm-hmm. on Instagram and Twitter, which their handle is at LesMisOz, and the hashtag is LesMisOz. They also have a Facebook page, Les Miserables Australia. Ewan has a website, ewandeutsch.com. His Twitter is, you tell me.
Ewan_Deutsch.
And his Instagram is
Ewan Deutsch.
His album Let It Sing is available through iTunes and online through the website.
Yep.
Buy it. It's beautiful. I've listened to it. My Instagram and Twitter is at John James O'Hara. So please tweet me, hashtag TicketA42. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know what you'd like to hear on the show. And we'll do our very best to make that happen for you. Also, anything that we've spoken about today on the podcast, being Ewan's album or this Shoshana Bean YouTube clip, and all of our details will be on the Aussie Theatre website. But if you go to aussietheatre.com.au/ticket A42, there'll be a list of things that we spoke about and we'll point you in the right direction. Ewan, it's been a pleasure having you on
the show today. It's been so much fun.
I've loved it. Good luck with Les Mis and the album, and hopefully we'll get to speak to you again soon.
Absolutely.
Oh, one more thing before we go. We are going to take a selfie. We're taking the selfie now. Here we go. Click. Brilliant. We look good in that. Ewan, again, thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's been so much fun.
Signing off. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was produced by Matt Edwards for AussieTheatre.com.